Welcome. Gospel Harvest International is the evangelistic ministry of Itumeleng and Lindy Mokganye. This ministry is devoted to winning souls and igniting the church to do likewise. As you are listening to this message, we pray that God's word would position and empower you to take the harvest in your world.
Part 6 of Teach Us How to Pray. In this session, I want to speak about the prayer of faith. Listen to what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In the next sessions, we will discuss the different kinds of prayer which are found in the Word of God. I like Moffat's translation of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. Listen to how he puts it. He's saying, praying at all times in the Spirit with all manner of prayer. Another translation says, praying with all kinds of prayer. In this study, we are going to be examining the kinds of prayer that are illustrated in the New Testament. We are primarily interested in the New Testament because that is a covenant in which we live under. We're not living under the Old Covenant. Those under the Old Covenant were living under a shadow of what was to come. But we live not under the shadow, we live under the light of what has come. The new kinds of prayer as seen in the new covenant. Much damage has been done by taking examples of prayer from a dispensation that has passed and using them in this current dispensation. We are living under a better covenant, in a better day. Those living under the old covenant didn't have the name of Jesus to use because Jesus had not yet come. Therefore, they had more of a struggle with evil spirits and demons than we do today. But Jesus came, and I love what Colossians chapter 2 verse 15 says. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he, that being Jesus, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, prayer is an entirely different matter with us living under the new covenant because Satan has been defeated and Jesus has given believers the authority to use his name in prayer. Matthew chapter 21 verse 21 to 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you ask for in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Jesus is talking about prayer here. He's talking about believing prayer. He's talking about the prayer of faith. Jesus said almost the same thing in the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 11 verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. This is the prayer of faith. It applies primarily to a person's own life, to his own situations and circumstances. In other words, it applies to your desires. Mark chapter 11 verse 24 is talking about your praying. It's talking about someone else praying. It's not talking about someone else praying with you. That would be a prayer of agreement as seen in Matthew chapter 18 verse 19. Mark 11 24 is not talking about someone else agreeing with you. It says, when you pray, believe you receive, and you shall have them, whatsoever things you desire. Mark 11, 24. Jesus is saying that you can have what you desire if you pray according to his word and believe you receive your petition. We make the mistake sometimes of taking these different kinds of prayer and lumping them all together as one thing. When we do that, we miss out on some of the blessings of God. We need to realize that there are certain principles or rules or spiritual laws that govern the certain kinds of prayer. Each of those principles do not apply to every kind of praying. For example, there are certain rules that govern certain games, which generally speaking would all come under the category of sports. In the same way, when we talk about prayer, all kinds of prayer, generally speaking, we come under the category of prayer. But there has to be more than one kind of prayer, because Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer or all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. All praying is prayer, but there are different kinds of prayer. For example, there are many different kinds of games which each have their own set of rules. There are some rules which apply to certain sports that don't apply to other sports. For instance, the rules of rugby certainly do not apply to the rules of soccer. If you use the same rules for rugby and soccer, you would get terribly confused and there would be issue. People become confused if they don't understand the rules that govern the different kinds of prayer. You see, although there are all kinds of prayer, the same rules don't apply in each case. If you try to apply the same rules to all different kinds of prayer, it'll become simply confusing. The prayer of consecration versus the prayer of faith. For example, some people think that you ought to end every prayer with the phrase, "If it be thy will." When you question them about it, they say that Jesus prayed that way. He didn't. He didn't pray this way every time he prayed. He just prayed that way in one occasion for one kind of prayer in Luke chapter 22 verse 42. For example, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus didn't stand at Lazarus' tomb and say, "Lord, if it be thy will, raise up Lazarus." No, Jesus said, "Father, I thank thee that you have heard me, and I know that you hear me always." John 11, 41 and 42. Then Jesus told Lazarus to come forth, and Lazarus came forth out of the grave. The prayer Jesus prayed was a prayer to change something. Anytime you are praying a prayer to get something or to change something, never put an "if" in it. If it's the badge of doubt, you should pray that way. You're using the wrong rule. Your prayer won't work. It's as simple as that. What kind of prayer did Jesus pray using the phrase, "If it be thy will"? It was a prayer of consecration and dedication. Then there are other kinds of prayer that require the use of the word "if" when we don't know exactly what the will of God is in that situation. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus knew the will of God. However, Jesus prayed a prayer of consecration to God's will, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done," in verse 42 of Luke chapter 22. Jesus wasn't praying a prayer to change something. No, he was praying a prayer of consecration and dedication. We use the phrase, "If it be thy will," in our prayers because we want to be available to do what Jesus wants us to do. We should be willing to go anywhere and do anything that God has called us to do, whether it is to pastor, to be a missionary, to be a business person, or whatever it may be. Therefore, in a prayer of dedication and consecration, we are to pray, "Lord, if it be thy will," or "Lord, thy will be done." However, when it comes to changing things and receiving something from God according to his word, we do not pray, "If it be thy will." We already know what God's will is. We have God's word for us. If it's God's will, it is God's will for our needs to be met. So we don't have to pray and ask, "If it be thy will." God wants to give us what we need, and we receive our needs, and they are met simply by faith. Receiving the desires of your hearts. That's where Mark chapter 11 verse 24 comes into play. It has to do with receiving the desires of your heart. It has to do with receiving things. Whatsoever things, Jesus said, you desire. It has to do with things in the natural, like the fig tree just dried up when Jesus cursed it because he was in need of fruit. Mark 11, 24 also pertains to things like healing. The devil will come to you and tell you that something is not for you. But the Bible says, whatsoever things you so desire, we have God's word, his promise, that these desires can be met, that we can have those things which we desire. Someone might ask, "What if my desires are wrong?" Well, if your desires are wrong, then why don't you get saved? Or if you're out of fellowship with God, then you'll need to repent. Those are things that come to us when we are walking in fellowship with God. You can't tell me a believer's desires will be wrong if he's walking with God and keeping his flesh under subjection to his recreated human spirit. The Christian is supposed to crucify the flesh. But in Mark 11:24, God isn't talking about the desires of the heart. Actually, he is talking about the desires of the heart. We must realize that it's God's will that all our needs be met, spiritual, physical, financial, and material. We do not live under the old covenant, but you can understand something further about the nature of God by studying the Old Testament. You'll see from the Old Testament that God promises people more than just spiritual things. He promised them that if they would obey, that he would take sickness away from them, and the number of their days he would fulfill. This is the promise of Exodus chapter 23, verse 26. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, in talking about delivering the Israelites from Egypt, that there were no feeble among them, Psalm 105, verse 37. That's quite a statement when you realize that there were about 2 million Israelites whom God led out of Egypt. God is interested in everything that touches our lives. He's made full provision for us in every area of our lives. He told his people in the old covenant that he would keep his, that those that keep his commandments, that they would eat the good of the land. The phrase good of the land carries the implication that God's people are to prosper materially. Then over in the New Testament, the Lord says almost the same thing except in different words. The Holy Spirit through John in 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers." The Lord said that he would give his good gifts to his children, Matthew 7:11. He's concerned about us. We know this. He tells us he cares for us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And in Mark 11:24, Jesus is talking about granting us the desires of our hearts, and he tells us exactly how we can get them. My friends, the reality is that your prayer of faith won't always work for others. Let's operate according to the rules set down in God's word. In other words, using Mark chapter 11, verse 24, I can make my faith work for myself, but I can't always make it work for others. The other person's will and the other person's faith enters the pictures too. In the prayer of agreement, the unbelief of one person can nullify the effects of the other person's faith. As long as people are baby Christians, we can very often carry them on our prayers and on our faith. But it is also true that after a certain period of time, God will expect them to develop their own prayer life and their own faith. That's why your faith won't always work for others. But your faith will always work for you if your faith is based on God's word. I noticed as a pastor that there were people who get healed primarily on my faith. Usually these people were people who were new believers or were coming from denominational churches who had never heard the full truth. But whenever it came to older Christians who were part of the full gospel family or Pentecostal family, these were the hardest ones usually to see them get healed. I don't mean older in physical age. I mean older in their time and their walk with God. You see, that is the truth. God expects at a certain point for you to be able to use your own faith. So we're not always able to use our own faith to help us when it comes to other people. You see, believers cannot continue to remain spiritual babies. If you had 10 children and all of them remained babies, they wouldn't be able to help one another and you would be in a mess. Children should grow up in the natural, then older ones can help the younger ones too. It should be the same way spiritually. God wants all of his children to grow up in Christ. If the church is growing, they will continue to be babies. Or if the church is growing, there will continue to be babies born, as is proper and natural. But if everyone in the church remained in babyhood state of spiritual growth, who would take care of the babies? We would have a real problem on our hands, spiritually speaking. God has set different ministries in the church. We see this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. For example, an evangelist primarily is interested in winning the lost. But if everyone were an evangelist, we would never see people move over from being spiritually immature children to spiritually mature believers. But we would have spiritual babies all over the place. You see, God wants there to be sheep, not just lambs. God is interested in the whole body of Christ growing up spiritually. If we let our flesh dominate us, we will still want to be babies and let someone else carry us spiritually. But as a Christian, you can pray the prayer of faith for yourself. Stop saying you can't. Say that the ability to pray in faith belongs to you. Continually say that what the word says about you. Put your name in Mark chapter 11 verse 24 where Jesus says you. Take Mark chapter 11 24 as a personal promise to you. Say, Jesus says unto me, whatsoever things I desire when I pray and I believe I receive them, I will have them. Learn to pray the prayer of faith for yourself and receive answers to your prayers. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening today. If you were blessed by this message, consider how you can get involved and join hands with us in winning rural Africa for Jesus. We'd love to hear from you. Visit our website at gospelharvest.co.za for more information or sermons like this one.